we present June Whitfield as Miss Marple in Agatha Christie's 450 from Paddington.
My grandmother always used to insist that a true lady must neither be shocked nor surprised. So when Mrs. McGillicuddy, who had come down to St. Mary Mead to stay with me for a few days, greeted me with the words,
"Oh, Jane, I've just seen a murder."
I merely raised my eyebrows a little and shook my head, sat her down by the fire, and asked her to tell me all about it.
The train standing at platform 3 is the 4:50 for Brackhampton, Milchester, Waverton, Carville Junction and stations to Chadwick. Passengers for Brackhampton and Milchester travel in the rear of the train.
I had all my Christmas shopping, of course, and I was lucky to find Porter, except that he ushered me to a third-class carriage. What on earth did he take me for? However, at last I did get a compartment all to myself. I must admit that I fell asleep the moment the train pulled out of the station. I slept for 35 minutes. I know that, for I looked at my watch the moment I woke up. By then it was nearly dark, and the train started to slow down, and just then another train, going the same way as us, came up and swerved inwards towards our train quite alarmingly. We were running alongside one another at the same speed, when suddenly the blind of one of the carriages opposite flew up. It was only a few feet away, and I distinctly saw a man bending over with his back to the window, with his hands round a woman's throat. And he was slowly, remorselessly, strangling her. Her eyes were starting from their sockets, and her face had gone quite purple.
How very unpleasant.
And then her body went quite limp, and she slumped down. And just at that moment, the other train picked up speed and went off into the night.
Ticket, please.
A woman has been strangled in the train that's just passed. I saw it through the window.
Strangled?
Yes. You must do something at once.
You don't think, madam, that you may have had a little nap?
I saw it. I was as wide awake as you are, and what I want to know is, what are you going to do about it?
Well, madam,
you are going to do something, I suppose.
We shall be in Brackhampton in 7 minutes, and I'll report what you've told me. Perhaps I might have your name and address, just in case.
But of course, I couldn't be sure that he'd do anything. So just to make certain, I wrote a note for the stationmaster.
The train now arriving at Platform 1 is the 5:38 for Milchester, Waverton and stations to Chadworth. Passengers for Market Basing, take the train now waiting at Platform number 3.
Porter, please take this at once to the station master's office.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, thank you, ma'am.
I gave him a shilling. Sixpence would have been enough, I suppose, but my mind was still dwelling on the murder. What a fantastic thing to happen! And then I caught the train to Milchester and found your taxi driver waiting for me.
The best thing, I think, my dear, is for you to go upstairs and take off your hat and have a tidy up. Then we will have supper, during which we will not discuss this at all. After supper, we will go into the matter thoroughly and examine it from every angle.
Jean, you don't think, do you, that I dreamt it or imagined it?
Oh, certainly not. I think perhaps we should have a glass of my cowslip wine.
Oh, that would be most welcome. The ticket collector thought I dreamt it. Quite polite, but all the same.
The man you saw in the other train, did you say he had his back to you?
Yes.
So you didn't see his face?
No.
And the woman? Can you describe her? Young? Old?
Youngish. Between 30 and 35, I should think.
Here you are.
Oh, thank you. Oh, excellent. Just the thing.
Was she good-looking?
It's difficult to say. Her face was all contorted and...
Yes, yes, I quite understand. How was she dressed?
She had on a fur coat of some kind, a palish fur. No hat. Her hair was blonde.
And there was nothing distinctive you can remember about the man?
He was tallish and dark, I think. He had a heavy coat on, so I couldn't judge his build very well. It's not really very much to go on.
Oh, it's something. We shall know more, I expect, in the morning.
In the morning?
I should imagine it will be in the morning papers. The man would have had a body on his hands. What would he do? Presumably he would leave the train at the next station. By the way, can you remember if it was a corridor train?
No, it was not.
That seems to point to a train that was not going far afield. It would almost certainly stop at Brackhampton. Let us assume the murderer leaves the train there, perhaps arranging the body in a corner seat, with her face hidden by the fur collar, to delay discovery?
Yes, I can see that is what he would most likely do. And in that case, it is almost certain to be in the papers tomorrow.
But it wasn't in the morning paper. It wasn't in any of them. So I decided that the best thing for us to do was to go down to the police station and have a word with Sergeant Cornish.
A most extraordinary story, Mrs. McGillicuddy. And you've reported it to the railway officials and reported it to me. That's the correct procedure. And you can rely on me to make the proper inquiries.
Thank you, Sergeant.
What do you think could have happened to the body?
Well, I can't imagine. If it was left on the train, it would surely have been found sometime last night.
One would have thought so.
There is, of course, the possibility that the murderer pushed the body out onto the line. I suppose it could be still on the track somewhere.
As I said, Miss Marple, I'll make a few inquiries. I think you can rest assured that you'll hear about it all in a very short time.
But the day passed, and so did the next day, and in the evening a note arrived from Sergeant Cornish.
In regard to the matter on which you consulted me, full inquiries have been made with no result. No woman's body has been found. I suggest that your friend may have witnessed a scene such as she described, but that it was much less serious than she supposed.
Less serious? I know what I saw. It was murder. The trouble is, I don't see what I can do about it.
I don't think there's anything you can do about it. You've reported what you saw.
Well, I suppose it's a relief in a way, because, as you know, I'm going to Ceylon immediately after Christmas to stay with Roderick, and I certainly do not want to put that visit off. It's up to the police now. It's out of my hands completely.
And so Elspeth went off to Ceylon, leaving me with a problem to solve. Who could help me to find out where the crime might have taken place? Well, there was my nephew Raymond's second boy, David, who is in British Railways, and there was the vicar's boy, Leonard, who is very knowledgeable about maps. Leonard was easy enough since I was having Christmas dinner at the vicarage, and I sent a special Christmas present to David, asking for information. He told me that the only train that could possibly have been overtaken by the 4:50 from Paddington at that time of day was the 4:33 to Market Basing. So I went up to London and caught the 4:33 as far as Brackhampton. As the train neared Brackhampton, there was a long curve, and I stood experimentally with my back to the window and drew the blind. The curve was sudden enough to throw me back against the window and made the blind fly up. I peered out into the darkness, but there was little that I could see. So I took the same journey by daylight, this time with a large-scale map provided by Leonard, and I began to have an idea of what might have happened. But how was I to set about finding out if I were right? And then I thought of Lucy Islesborough.
I'm afraid I'm rather booked up at the moment, but I might manage something. There's a rather dowdy club in London I happen to be a member of. Why don't we meet there?
Lucy Islesbarrow is a quite remarkable girl. She took a first in mathematics at Oxford, and everyone expected her to go on to a distinguished academic career. But she knew all too well that an academic life is not very well rewarded, and she quite frankly liked money. She decided that to make money one must exploit shortage, and there was a serious shortage of domestic labour. She soon became something of a legend. She would look after elderly parents or little children. She cooked divinely and was quite wonderful with dogs. There was nothing she wouldn't turn her hand to. Of course, she charged the earth for her services, but no one seemed to mind.
So, what exactly do you want me to do?
Oh, it's very simple, really. I want you to find a body.
What kind of a body?
A woman's body. She was murdered, strangled, actually, in a train.
Well, that's certainly unusual. I think you'd better tell me about it.
There is only one place where the body could have been thrown off the train and would not have been found on the line. The track makes a big curve before coming into Brackhampton on the edge of a high embankment. If a body were thrown out there when the train was leaning at an angle, I think it would pitch right down the embankment.
But surely it would be found even there.
Oh, yes. It would have to be taken away, but we'll come to that presently. Now, just take a look at the map. Here's the place. It's right on the outskirts of Brackhampton now, but originally it was a country house with extensive grounds. And it's still there, untouched, ringed round with housing estates. It is called Rutherford Hall.
Is it an old house?
No, not particularly. It was built by a man called Crackenthorpe, a very rich manufacturer, in 1884. His son, an elderly man, is living there still with his daughter. The railway encircles half the property.
And what is it that you want me to do?
I want you to get a post there. Everyone is crying out for efficient domestic help. I should not imagine that it would be difficult.
No, I don't suppose it would.
I understand that Mr. Crackenthorpe is said to be something of a miser. If you accept a low salary, I will make it up to the proper figure, which should, I think, be rather more than your present rate.
Because of the difficulty?
Because of the danger. It is only right to warn you of that.
I don't know that the idea of danger would deter me.
I didn't think it would.
I dare say you thought it might even attract me. I've encountered very little danger in my life. But do you really believe there might be a risk?
Somebody has committed a very successful crime. There's been no hue and cry, no real suspicion. Two elderly ladies have told a rather improbable story. The police have investigated it and found nothing in it. I don't think that this somebody, whoever he may be, will care for the matter being raked up.
What do I look for exactly?
Any signs along the embankment, a scrap of clothing, broken bushes, that kind of thing.
And then?
I shall be quite close at hand. An old maidservant of mine lives at Brackhampton and takes in lodgers. She has arranged for me to have rooms there. I would suggest that you mention you have an elderly aunt living in the neighbourhood and that you want to be within easy distance of her and that you stipulate a reasonable amount of spare time so that you can go and see her.
I was going to Taormina the day after tomorrow.
Oh.
The holiday can wait. But I can only promise 3 weeks. After that, I'm booked up.
3 weeks should be ample. If we can't find out anything in 3 weeks, we might as well give up the whole thing as a mare's nest.
Let's hope that won't happen. I have an old friend who works in a registry office in Brackhampton. She ought to be able to help me towards getting a job at Rutherford Hall. Do you happen to know the name of the old man's daughter?
Emma, I believe. Emma Crackenthorpe.
I wonder if this post is really what you're looking for, Miss Islesbarrow. I don't want a housekeeper to supervise things. I want somebody to do the work.
I quite understand. You want cooking and washing up and stoking the boiler. That's all right. I'm not at all afraid of work.
It's a big house, I'm afraid, and inconvenient. Of course, we only live in a portion of it, my father and myself, that is. He is rather an invalid. I have several brothers, but they're not here very often. You have your own car?
Yes, it can stand out in the open if there's nowhere to put it. It's used to it.
Oh, there are any amount of old stables. There's no trouble about that. And you're sure you're happy with the sum I mentioned?
Yes, that's quite all right. You see, I need to be near Brackhampton. I have an elderly aunt in a critical state of health, and I want to be within easy distance of her. If I could be sure of having some time off most days?
Oh, every afternoon till six, if you like.
That seems perfect.
I think perhaps I should warn you that my father can be a little difficult at times.
I'm quite used to elderly people. I generally manage to get on with them.
I suppose I'd better take you to meet him. He said he wanted to have a look at you.
There's one thing you'd better understand right away, young lady. Just because we live in a big house doesn't mean we are rich. We're not rich. I live here because my father built this house and I like it. After I'm dead, they can sell it up if they want to, and I expect they will want to. No sense of family. This house is well built, and we've got our own land round us. Keeps us private. You won't get me out of here unless you take me out feet first.
Your home is your castle.
Laughing at me?
Of course not. I think it's very exciting to have a real country place, all surrounded by town.
Quite so. Well, you hear the traffic a bit when the wind's that way, but otherwise it's still country. Right, you'll do. Tell Emma to ring up that damn fool of a doctor. That last medicine he gave me is no good at all.
Has Mr. Quackenthorpe been an invalid for long?
For years now. You're sure you'll be able to cope?
Quite certain.
There's a woman who helps out in the mornings, Mrs. Kidder. She comes in first thing. She's got a sharp tongue, but she's quite harmless, really.
What she has to put up with, poor lady, with that regular old skinflint. All the same, she's not what I call downtrodden. Can hold her own all right. She always sees there's something decent to eat when the gentlemen come down.
The gentlemen?
Oh, yeah. It's a big family, or used to be. The eldest, Mr. Edmund, he was killed in the war. Then there's Mr. Cedric. He lives abroad somewhere. He's not married. Paints pictures of foreign parts. Mr. Arrol's in the city, lives in London, married an earl's daughter. Then there's Mr. Alfred. He's got a nice way with him, but he's a bit of a black sheep, been in trouble once or twice. And there's Miss Edith's husband, Mr. Brian, ever so nice he is. Miss Edith died some years ago, but he's always stayed one of the family. And then there's Master Alexander, Miss Edith's little boy. He's at school, but he always comes here for part of the holidays.
Quite a big family, as you say. Another cup of tea?
No, thanks, my dear. We seem to have got along a treat this morning. Want me to give you a hand with the potatoes?
They're done already.
Well, you are a one for getting on with things. I might as well be getting on myself, as there doesn't seem anything else to do.
Is it all right with you if I practice a few iron shots in the grounds this afternoon?
Oh, yes, certainly. Are you fond of golf?
Oh, I'm not much good, but I like to keep in practice. It's a more useful form of exercise than just going for a walk.
Nowhere to walk outside this place. Nothing but pavements and miserable little bandboxes of houses. They'd like to get hold of my land and build more of them, but they won't until I'm dead. And I'm not going to die to oblige anybody, I can tell you that.
Now, Father.
I know what they think and what they're waiting for, all of them. Cedric and that sly fox Harold with his smug face. As for Alfred, I wonder he hasn't had a shot at bumping me off himself. I'm not sure he didn't at Christmas time. That was a very odd turn I had. Puzzled Dr. Quinton.
I don't think that Miss Aylesbury wants to hear about that, Father.
Don't see why not. But off you go, young lady.
Marple said. The train slows down to make the curve and the embankment falls steeply away. Easy enough to pitch a body down it. And here's my ball. And here's something else. torn scrap of fur.
And Elspeth said the woman was wearing a light-coloured fur coat.
So it looks as if you were right.
Yes. It is rather gratifying to form a theory and get proof that it is correct.
But that isn't all. The body must have rolled down the slope. At the foot of the embankment, I found this.
Oh, a powder compact. Very cheap affair. It doesn't seem distinctive in any way, but it might help.
I suppose it must have been in the pocket of the coat.
You didn't take all the fur?
No, I left half of it on the thorn bush.
Oh, quite right. The police will want to check exactly.
You're going to the police?
Well, not quite yet. It would be better, I think, to find the body first, don't you?
Isn't that rather a tall order? The murderer pushed the body out of the train, and then presumably he got out at Brackhampton, and then, probably the same night, came back and removed the body. But he could have taken it anywhere.
Oh, not anywhere. I don't think you're following the thing to its logical conclusion.
You mean that he intended to kill her? That it was premeditated?
I didn't think so at first. But it really is too much of a coincidence that he should kill the girl in a fit of passion and then look out of the window and find that the train was going round a bend exactly at a spot where he could tip the body out and where he could be sure of finding his way later and removing it. If he'd just thrown her out by chance...
The body would have been found long ago.
The more I think about it, I am sure it was very carefully planned. The man knew, he must have known, all about Rutherford Hall, its geographical position. Let us assume the murderer had a car. Which way would he come?
There's a way under the railway arch and along the back drive. He could go along to the foot of the embankment and carry it back to the car.
And then he took it to some place he'd already chosen beforehand. The obvious thing, I suppose, would be to bury it somewhere in the grounds of Rutherford Hall.
It wouldn't be as easy as it sounds. Too much hard work and very noticeable.
Then in a shed, perhaps? Or an outhouse?
That would be simpler and quicker. There are a lot of unused old buildings, harness rooms, workshops that no one ever goes into.
Yes, I think that's much more probable.
There's no one actually living at Rutherford Hall who could be the man we're looking for. There's only old Mr. Crackenthorpe and the gardener.
I didn't say he was actually living there. All I mean is that he's someone who knows Rutherford Hall very well. But we can go into that once you've found the body.
You seem to assume quite confidently that I shall find it. I don't feel nearly so optimistic.
I am sure you will succeed, my dear Lucy. All it needs is a little common sense.
I'll start to go through all the outbuildings systematically. The grandson, Alexander, is coming down with a friend of his to stay for the holidays. I wonder if I might be able to enlist them as helpers.
Are you looking for something, Miss Aylesborough?
A golf ball. Several, in fact. I'd been practicing golf shots most afternoons, and I'd lost quite a few. I thought that today I really must find some of them.
We'll help you, won't we, James?
Of course.
That's very kind of you.
Do you play a lot of golf?
I'm quite fond of it. I don't get much opportunity.
I suppose you don't. You do the cooking here, don't you?
Yes. Was lunch all right?
Simply wizard. We get awful meat at school, all dried up. I love beef that's pink and juicy inside. That treacle tart was pretty smashing too.
I found a ball. Here.
Thank you.
We wanted to set up a game of clock golf, but the numbers are so rusty you can hardly make out which is which.
Why don't you give them a lick of white paint, Alexander?
Good idea. There are small pots of paint in the long barn. Shall we see whether there's any white?
Where's the long barn?
The stone building over there by the back drive.
Grandfather keeps a lot of his collection there.
What collection?
Statues and things he had sent home from abroad when he was a young man. Most of them are pretty awful. Come and see.
It's just like a museum. Busts of Roman emperors.
And a lady with no clothes on.
The coffin's the best thing, though. Come and look.
A coffin?
Grandfather says it's an ancient sarcophagus. It came from Sicily.
It's enormous.
I found some white paints, but the brushes are all stiff.
You need some terps.
There's some in the house under the stairs. We'll go off and get it.
I'll stay and have a look round here. It could do with a good clear-up.
See you later, then.
Bye.
Bye. Mr. Crackenthorpe. Mablethorpe seems to have had a genius for collecting the worst specimens of antique art that he could find. Particularly this sarcophagus. But if I wanted somewhere to hide a body, I need to find something to move the lid. Oh, this might do. Oh, my God.
Brakehampton 2500.
Miss Marple?
Yes, Lucy, what is it?
I found it.
The body?
Yes, a woman in a fur coat. It's in a stone sarcophagus in a barn near the house. What do you want me to do? I ought to inform the police, I think.
Oh, yes, you must ring them at once.
But what do I tell them?
Well, the only thing to do is to tell them the exact truth.
About you?
About everything.
But what about the family?
I think I'd better leave that to you.
May I speak to you a moment, Miss Crackenthorpe?
Yes, of course. What is it?
Well, speak up, girl, speak up.
I'd like to talk to you alone, please.
Nonsense. You can say straight out what you've got to say.
Just a moment, Father. Come out into the hall, Miss Aylesbury. Well, what is it? If there's too much work to do with the boys here, I'm sure...
It's not that at all. I didn't want to speak before your father because he's an invalid and it might give him a shock. You see, I've just discovered the body of a woman in the big sarcophagus in the long barn. I'm afraid it's quite true. I've rung the police. They'll be here at any moment.
You should have told me first, before ringing the police.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear you use the telephone.
I was afraid the boys might hear if I rang up from the hall. I phoned from a call box down the road.
Yes, I see. And you say the police are on their way?
I think they're here now.
I'm sorry to have to put you through this, Miss Crackenthorpe, but have you ever seen this woman before?
I'm quite certain I've never seen her before in my life.
We're very grateful to you. That's all I want to know.
I must go to my father. As soon as I heard all about this, I telephoned Dr. Quimper. I thought it would be a wise precaution.
Your father's all right, Emma. Just go in and have a word with him. And then pour yourself a glass of brandy. That's a prescription.
Thank you, Dr. Quimper. Excuse me, Inspector Bates.
Miss Crackenthorpe.
That woman's the salt of the earth. A thousand pities she's never married. The penalty of being the only female in a family of men. Oh. The other sister got clean away, married at 17. Emma's quite a handsome woman, really. She'd have made a good wife and mother.
Too devoted to her father, I suppose.
Well, she's not really as devoted as all that. But she's got the instinct some women have of making their menfolk happy. Well, she sees that her father likes being an invalid. So she lets him be an invalid. She's the same with her brothers. She makes Cedric believe he's a good painter. Harold believes that she relies on his sound judgment, and she lets Alfred shock her with his stories of his shady deals.
Sounds like a clever woman.
Yeah. Well... Do you want me to have a look at your corpse now that the police surgeon has done with it? And see if it happens to be one of my medical mistakes?
I'd like you to take a look, yes. We want to get her identified.
Right, let's go. Unpleasant, I suppose.
The police surgeon estimates she's been dead between a fortnight and 3 weeks.
Unpleasant enough. Mm.
Well, doctor?
Never seen her before. No patient of mine. Nor have I ever noticed her in Brakehampton. She must have been quite good-looking once. Who found her?
Miss Lucy Aylesbury.
The latest lady help. What was she doing poking round in a sarcophagus?
That's what I'm going to ask her.
Well, I trust she's got a good story.